loud. I can hear that even. I always say I speak really kind of soft, so I'm always glad when the sound's loud. I don't know it, and Karen will tell me later, and I say, I sound loud to myself. And if you would, turn with me over to Luke, the 12th chapter this morning. I tried to title every message, and I titled this one out of the scriptures, Who is your master, and where's your treasure? And we're going to look at two passages. Luke's going to really be the main one, but we also will look at Matthew, the 6th chapter, 19 through 34. They're really talking kind of very much similar, but there's a little bit of difference in them. And we're going to kind of note that a little bit. Material things is what these passages are talking about. The struggle we have. And, you know, I've been a Christian since I was 13 years old. And I've always had to deal with that. Material things. To keep material things and money in the right perspective. Keeping it where God would want it. Keeping it in its right place. Our society is so much different than so much of the other world as far as material things go. You know, some of our church folks are over in Dominican Republic. I was over in the other country early. That was my first mission trip, was to Haiti. You know, that's an island. Half of it's Haiti and the other half's Dominican Republic. It's one of the poorest nations at that time in that hemisphere. I can remember going and seeing people that everything they had was in a little stick hut. All their clothes, maybe one change of clothes. A meal for the day. You could see people have a little more status. Some might still have a stick hut with a tin roof. and some might even have built a little bit bigger house, and they'll have, you know, mud packed on both sides, sort of a stucco on both sides. Some of them might even have a floor, and you could tell if they had a little more affluence. But in our culture, well, our culture just really didn't compare. We have wealth. Our poor people think they're poor. Okay? They may live in an apartment that they don't own, but it's not a stick hut. Our poor people have a cell phone, a TV. I mean, you know what real necessities are? Clothes, something to eat, and shelter, and that's it. All right? So we need to think a little bit how we use our resources and how we look at our resources. A lot of times I hear college kids going off to school, and they're talking about, well, I can make more money if I do this. Well, making money is important. You got to take care of your family. But let me just simply say that if it's not what God wants you to do, you need to choose a different path. Okay? If it's not what God wants you to do, you need to consider what He wants. Now, He'll want you to be able to take care of your family. But He doesn't really care if you drive a Mercedes or watch, you know. So let's look at the scripture a little bit and think about what God wants. Interesting passage when this really kicks off is in the 13th verse. And interesting because it says, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher," speaking to Jesus, "tell my brothers to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me judge or arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist of abundance and possessions. Wow. I thought it was interesting when I read that. What a way to kick off a teaching on the right attitude. You know, Lord, it seemed like those opportunities just arise. And I'm sure, you know, God's so sovereign, He knows what's going to happen. But what is something to start off with? It really brings you to the point, right attitude to more towards material things, money and wealth. A family feud over the inheritance. How many times have I heard that before? I know people that got upset over the inheritance and they're still mad at each other. Brothers and sisters, they go to their grave not speaking to each other. That's so foreign. We are dealing with covetousness here. Coveting what somebody else has. You know, the commandment says in Exodus, the 20th chapter, 17th verse, what does it say? Thou shalt not covet. Now, you may not think our society is affected by materialism, but I'll tell you, that's what socialism and communism is all about. In our nation, he said, even the poor are not poor. You say, well, hey, what about people that come to the food pantry? Listen, I've operated food pantries. And what I find is that most people that are coming, and that's, by the way, in our society, most people can go someplace and get food. Okay. It's a wealthy society. Now, things can always change. Our economy could go so poor and so bad. Maybe it won't be that way. But as a whole, well, I've grown up the last 70 years, people could find food, and our government gave out food, and they kept giving out more food. All right? What I found over the years, it was their lifestyle that got them in trouble. Okay? But covetousness, what socialism, communism is those that, not that they don't have things, and I'm especially speaking about our country. It's a covet after what others have. When you hear people fuss about somebody being rich, they're usually fussing because they don't have it. It's not because they don't have what they need. And when I've even had people come to the church, and there's nothing wrong with that, and we were there to help, and we would help, it did not matter. But I never did have anybody come that didn't have clothes. And I've had a lot of fat people come to the church that needed food. I'm just being honest. You know, when I went to Haiti, well, the nurse we went out to help. The mother had come and given her two children, two little twins called, they named them Faith and Charity to her. Gave them because she couldn't take care of them. And they were of African descent, but their little bellies were bloated, and their hair was orange because of malnutrition. That was poor. That was somebody not having what they needed. Thou shalt not covet. I want you to look with me in Matthew, the sixth chapter. Sixth verse 1 through 10. But godliness with contentment is great gain. And listen, if you got what you need in life, if you really got your necessities, don't This isn't really talking about, I guess you could say, not trying to do better. But don't fret and don't worry. Be content and know that God will take care of you. There's contentment where people have to have what the Joneses have. So he says, he reminds us that godliness with contentment is great gain. Peace. Be at peace in your heart and mind about material things. And that is, look at them like God would have you look at it. Pursue Him. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out. When I was doing bus ministry this first time, and we went to a Jim Vineyard bus concert, and training session. Jim Vineyard led First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. They had this huge bus ministry, hundreds of buses. But one of his illustrations stuck with me. He said, you know, some of them guys have got their, they've got their bass boat, and they're driving around, they got the cigar in their mouth, and they're oblivious to what God wants, and they don't realize that when their life is gone and they pass away, somebody will be married to their wife, smoking their cigar and driving their bass boat around. You don't take it with you, okay? So you can heap all that stuff up and not have anything in eternity. He says, for we brought nothing into this world, but we can take nothing out. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Now, see, much of the world, that's where they're at. You understand that. We have so much, and we think we need much, and we ought to be trying to get as much. And I don't know that there's anything wrong with that, but I want you to understand that most of the world don't live where we live. Many of them, that's all they have. And he says, having that, be content. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and traps and many foolish and harmful desires and that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Hey, our wealth is a blessing in our country. But it's also created a lot of problems. It's a struggle to know how to deal with it, to handle it. It gets people's eyes off of God and gets them on to all the things they can get. Hey, there's a lot of people out there today that aren't in church. Even some that claim to be Christians. They're out on the lake because they got a bass boat. They got a ski boat. They got a camper out by the lake. They got a four-wheel vehicle and they're driving through the mountains. Oh, they're having a blast. It would be better, as you will see as we look in the scriptures, that you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Love of money draws people away from God. Didn't say money's bad. I did not say that, okay? And the scripture does not say that. Doesn't say that money is evil. It says the love of money is evil. It leads people into evil things. It puts, people love money sometimes. They put it before their God. And our Luke passage is going to talk about that. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith, and they pierce themselves through with many griefs or many sorrows. Wow. And I just had to read that and take time for that before we go on with this Luke passage. So let's go back over to Luke, 12th chapter. Luke, the 12th chapter. and think about it a little bit. Looking in 16, it says, and he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. He said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, I'll build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain, and I will say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Now, there's nothing wrong with raising, storing, being prepared. Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But it was this attitude about it that was completely wrong. There was no express to give thanks to God. There was no talk about using it for the kingdom of God or using it to do something good with it. It was all about Him. It was all about Him taking His ease in life, rather than about what God wants. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded of you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And this reminds us again, we can't take it to heaven. What can we take to heaven? You might keep that in mind. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. See, God, it's just reminding you, leave it all behind. So you need to be focused different. Keep your focus on Him. Then He goes on. Jesus said to His disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat, or about your body, what you'll wear. Don't fret over those things, he says. Don't worry. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the raven, he says. They do not sow or reap. They have no storage room or barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? And then he goes on. Consider how a wild flower grows. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor has dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothed the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will He clothe you with a little faith? Now, when I think of that passage, now I like flowers. My grandmother liked them. I grow a lot of stuff around the house. Man, this dry stuff's been hard on it. But you ever know spring? Spring, all the flowers. Kind of hate to mow my yard. You know, there's so many of them. I got more weeds than I do grass. But they all have blooms. They look pretty nice, you know. And I like that. God causes that. And He says, you know, if I take care of the grass, I clothe it, I feed the birds, you're worth more, far more. Remember, He gave His Son for you. So, got to get back to my place. If that is how God clothed the grass of the field, which are here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, how much more will He clothe you? You of little faith, do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink, or do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, not just food and drink. He says all such things, all the things they're all concerned about. They worry about them. And even when they got their necessities of life, they're still worried. They got to have more because they're worried that they won't have something for the next day. They worry about it. And then they worry about what other people have they don't have. And your Father knows that you need them. He knows what you need. Seek ye first the kingdom, and these things will be given unto you. Now that's a good thing to know. If you just put God first in your life, if you just pursue Him with all your heart, the most important things that you're going to need to exist, He'll provide. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Remember, Jesus died for us. We accept Him as our Savior and Lord. He's given us His kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Oh, that's a novel idea, isn't it, in our society? You say, what can I do? See, God takes care of the birds. He takes care of the flowers. He's surely going to take care of you. You know what your needs are? Food, water, clothing, shelter, real needs. He takes care of them if you will pursue the kingdom of God. But seek ye first the kingdom, and these things will be given to you. I want to stop just a minute, go over to Matthew, read the sixth chapter with you. Okay, Matthew 6th chapter. We're looking in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Now think of the other passage I think I shared with y'all not too long ago when we dealt with, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. What? Daily. Okay. And follow me. And the reason I say that, notice how he reads this here. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Okay. Tomorrow will worry about itself. You know, I do not know if I have tomorrow. I got today. The rich man we read about a while ago, the Lord was talking to him and basically saying the same thing, wasn't he? You don't know, you don't have tomorrow, but you got today. And he's reminding us. And we're being reminded again that we live this life one day at a time. And we don't need to be fretting about things we can't do anything really about. You know what? The only sure thing I have in life is Jesus. Okay? You may have your health today. You may not have it tomorrow. You may be rich today. You may not have it tomorrow. But if you got Jesus, you got Him forever. If you put something up in the kingdom of heaven, moth and rust cannot corrupt, and thieves cannot break in and steal. That's yours. So, he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't buy trouble, folks. Quit worrying about things and just trust the Lord. And seek His kingdom first. Back to 12:21. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. Be like the rich man who's going to store it up and then dies and has nothing laid up in heaven. Wow. Let's go to 32 now. Do not be afraid, little flock. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail. There is no thief, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Wow. All right. Look, you can do a lot. We can do a lot with what we have. You know, there's some opportunities that are going to come up in our culture right now. And it's going to take money for us to reach out and minister. He said, you know, they overturned Roe versus Wade. That means there'll be more women trying to carry their pregnancy the term. Christians ought to jump in and try to provide some way to help and assist those that maybe couldn't financially. The reason they were doing abortion is that they were worried they wouldn't be able to take care of her, financially too much strain. We have an opportunity to be a witness there. Yesterday we did a fundraiser. I'm involved with Masterpiece Ministries of Arkansas. We're doing a shelter. It'll be out at Pencil Bluff for women recovering from drugs. It's Christ-based. There are others that are starting up meth use in the U.S., not in the U.S., in Arkansas is number one. We're number one in meth use. And women, by the way, seem to be affected more than men, although men have a great problem with it too. And I think that's because many of them have been abused. And their part of it is a way to cover up and escape their abuse. But anyway, there's going to be opportunities. There's opportunities in church. And when we look at that, you lay up treasures in heaven. How do you do that? Isn't that a good question to ask? How do you do that? I'm going to read one out of back in the 6th chapter of Matthew. Again, I'm going to look at 19:21. It says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy, or where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Wow. So how are you going to lay up treasures in heaven? That's a good question. What does that mean? Well, I'm going to lay out a couple of things for you. But let me mention that whatever you do, there's some qualifications for them to really become a treasure laid up for you in heaven. Let's see, everything that we do for the Lord has to be out of love for Him and for others. Okay? It has to be a faith, and it needs to be done in joy. See, Corinthians tells us the Lord loves a cheerful giver, not one begrudging. You have to move into it with a whole attitude. And so, what are some of those things that we do? It's not about ourselves. It's about love for others. It's a whole change of attitude. There's a passage in Ephesians, the 4th chapter and 28th verse, and it says, those that steal no more, but work in order to be able to give. Can you imagine that? Saying that, what a change. Somebody has been a thief, and now God touches their life and changes them, and what a change in their life. Now we're going to work, not just provide stuff for ourselves, we're going to work and do it so we can give it away. Wow. What a difference. And by the way, as I read through this, I church ought to give, and we're going to get to that. We're going to be talking about that a little bit. And we need to help others. But I also want to say what Paul said in the 4th chapter, in 11 through 12 of 1 Thessalonians, everybody ought to work. If you're able to work, you ought to work. Now, if you don't, you can't find a job, really can't find a job, that's all right, okay? But if you're capable, you shouldn't really be trying to freeload off of folks. You need to work if you can work. Do the best you can. Then let others come along and help you. Philippians, the 4th chapter, and 10 through 20, Paul writes to the church, and he's thanking them because when he was on his missionary journey, and Philippians is the Christians there at Philippi are it's a poor church. It's a poor church. But they gave anyway. They were a church that really kind of amazed Paul. He said he didn't think they had even the ability to do some of the things they did. He talked to the Corinthians church and who were rich, and he was trying to get them to be sure they give. And he started talking about this church. And he says, you know, they gave beyond their means. He's really saying, I didn't know how they did it. And you guys have been bragging that you're going to give a whole lot. Buddy, you better step up, because these guys didn't have it, and they gave it. But that's the way you lay treasures up in heaven. That's the way he's talking about, taking what God has given you and use it for the kingdom. That's how you lay treasures up in heaven. In 1 John, the 3rd chapter, 16 through 18, he talks about it's given to our brothers and sisters. You see a brother or sister in need, and you have the power to help them. And by the way, this passage, I want you to understand, if you don't have it to help somebody, never feel guilty about that. That's what 1 John's is. That's one thing. If you read in the line, that's one thing he said. If you had the ability to give, give. If you can meet a need, meet that need. But if you don't, it's all right. If you don't, you can pray. You can ask God, and God will provide somebody else that has that need, has that ability. Acts in the 2nd chapter, verses 42 through 46, the early church, they began, 3,000 souls were saved. They fellowshiped together. They broke bread together. But they also sold possessions they had. It didn't mean some of them sold everything they had and didn't have anything to take care of their own family. But they had extra things they didn't need, and they sold and they gave it in order to meet the needs of those who did not have the ability to meet their needs. Laying up treasures in heaven. Let me just simply say, 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, talks about taking care of your family. Listen, that's something you do too, with the resources that you have. And I believe it is laying up treasures in heaven. Matter of fact, Paul says, if you're a Christian, supposedly, a Christian, he said, you're not laying up treasures, you're worse than an infidel. You're not taking care of your own family. He said, you're worse than a pagan. Pagans, there's a lot of pagans that take care of their own family. He's reminding them, hey, take care of your family needs. I've seen some young men that spent everything they had. They were their main breadwinner in the family. They spent everything they had just about on themselves. Didn't really take care of their family. Now, let's go to Matthew, the 6th chapter, right quick, and we're going to look
in 19 through 24.
We've already started reading in that. We've read that first part. Let's go down to 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be filled with light. That is, everything right with you spiritually. That's what it's saying. You've got your heart right with God. It's focused where it needs to be. Everything else will be all right. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. Back to kind of that, the love of money is the root of all evil. If your eyes aren't where they need to be, if you're not focused upon the kingdom and upon God, then everything else is a mess. Your whole body will be full of darkness. If then light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Then he goes, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money, or mammon, material assets and wealth. You can't serve both of them. It's either one or the other. And God's a jealous God. So he's not going to let you put money and material wealth before him. If you're going to walk with him, he's going to have to be first. And in our culture, we need to ask ourselves from time to time, where does God rate in our life? Because everything about our culture tries to draw us away materially. Just think of when you go to Walmart. Walmart is based on what kind of buying? Impulse, right? That's the idea. That's the reason they got all that stuff. That's the reason they just recently moved everything around in Walmart over in MENA. You know why? Because they want you to walk through all the store hunting for that thing you came in there for, but leaving with something that your eyes caught and just thought you couldn't live without that. And so how many of you have ever gone into Walmart and bought something you thought you just couldn't live without and found out? And a few weeks later, you're putting it in a yard sale. Our whole culture is built around that, and we have to be careful. The Lord is always to be Lord. And we need to pray for His guidance daily. And it's important that you walk daily with Him in order that your culture does not take over. What we want is a Christ-based culture. You know, there's nothing wrong having an RV, but God may want you to sell that RV, okay, and do something else with it. Are you ready? There's nothing wrong, with having a fancy TV, and now God's wanting you to get rid of it and do something different. You just need to be willing and ready. Material things. There's 100 things I could mention, okay? When I was a young man growing up, and I realized this later, that something about the generation that my dad was in. There's a lot of those guys that thought they needed to have a little acreage. I know there's a lot of them who need to have a little acreage. So they buy a little bit of land, okay? Now, they might have another business. They may be doing something else. But they thought they needed a little acreage. Well, they buy a little land. Let me just kind of close with this illustration. They buy a little land. And then they'd be sitting around and think, well, I guess I ought to fence it off. They'd fence off that little bit of land. Okay? got to fence off. You know, a little acreage there. I need to get some cows. I'll get some cows. I'll get some cows put out there. Cows have to have water. We'll make a pond. We'll get a pond. Well, I need to do something about feed. I guess we'll build a barn. We'll build a barn. Well, got a barn. You got a field. You're going to have to put some hay in that barn. We need equipment. You got to get equipment. You understand a lot of things take over our life just like that, because we make one decision and then we make another that just follows and it kind of snowballs. And most of these guys that I knew already had a livelihood. Many of them, by the way, that I grew up with, because my family were builders, And we're into construction. They were raised with a generation. Many of them were raised on a farm. They thought they had to go do that. I just always thought that was kind of strange, how it slowly could take over their lives. Material things sometimes can just flat take over our lives. My family was fairly well off. We worked on a Dad had a farm. We lived on a farm. But he also did construction. And he was pretty successful. So he bought a trailer and we put it up on the lake. And we had a boat. He got the boat first. Then we got the trailer. And then we would leave on Friday after he'd get off work. And we'd be up there Saturday. Dad got where he hated to come back Saturday. He just saw it was so long. And we got where we didn't come back until Sunday. My dad was already a Christian. Mom was already a Christian, but I wasn't a Christian. My sister, we all got saved. Both of us got saved around a certain time. Went off to church camp, by the way. Saved at church camp. Got involved in our youth group. You know, during the winter, you'd stay there, but summer we'd get going a lot and just wouldn't be in church. Finally, I said, you know, now my mom and dad thought of us as having a Christian home, but I didn't, because we was carrying me out of church all the time. And I didn't. And I said, Mom, Dad, we want to go fishing. I mean, we like to go fishing, but we want to be back in church on Sunday. We want to be in church on Sunday. You know, we like to ski. I love to ski. I started at 8 years old, and she was six. My sister started at six, so we loved the water. I mean, like ducks. Hey. But I had to make a decision. Dad, I think it wounded them when they came one Wednesday night during camp. Lord, it broke my heart, and I was sitting there, and I said, I want a Christian family. And I think that stung them. I didn't think about it then, other than just... And we slowly got back in, and Dad got rid of the trailer because he didn't see it worth going up there, and we quit that. He got rid of the ski boat, and we had a bass boat you could ski behind, but we quit going on Sundays. Just lead you away. Material things can lead you away if you're not careful. Jesus needs to be your Lord. Let's all stand. If you're here, and maybe you already realize that you've let material things, they don't have to, it's not that they have to take you away Sunday. There's other ways you may feel, and God's speaking to you that it's leading you away. Maybe there's big decisions this morning. You're making financial decisions, but you're really not prayed about them. Well, if he's the master, you probably need to talk to him about it. Okay? So, as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer, I urge you to do that. Set things right with him this morning. And if you're here and don't know the Lord, I'll remind you, you're not taking anything with you when you die. You need to already have Jesus. And if you want to talk about that, I'll be hanging around here a little bit after service, and there's other guys here that love to talk to you about it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you're worthy of all praise and honor and glory, and we praise your holy name. We bow our lives before you. We desire to serve you. We want you to be first in our life in all things. We want, Lord, material things to have the right place in our life. We want to be givers. We don't want to live selfishly. We want to glorify you. All that we have comes from you. All these blessings that we receive comes from you. And Lord, we pray that we would just be a blessing to your kingdom and a blessing to others. And help us to make right decisions about it all. We ask these things, Lord, for thy glory and thy name's sake. And Lord, we pray for any here who may not know you as their personal Savior and Lord. We pray this morning they'd realize that you're the most important decision they can make. To turn their lives over to you. To trust you as their Lord and Savior. Knowing that you died on the cross for their sins in order that they might have eternal life. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.